Everybody, Rob here. We're about to get into our recap of this week's episode of Hunted, but I want to remind you that Valentine's Day is around the corner, and you could be a hero this Valentine's Day with farm fresh flowers from The Books, and our listeners can save 20% off when you order early with free delivery on weekdays when you register at Books.com. That's Books.com, Bouqs.com. Doesn't even have to be for Valentine's Day. Say that your fiance is out on the run and you accidentally butt-dialed some hunters that were chasing them. You want to make things right. There's nothing better than beautiful, fresh-cut flowers from The Books. Of course, they come to you farm fresh, just like the farm that Aref and Ahmad were hiding out on. And of course, the best thing about getting flowers from The Books is their easy to use website. You don't need to be one of these command center hackers to figure out your way through endless upsells, no extra care and handling fees, and no bait and switch products. With Farm Fresh Books, what you see is what you get. So save 20% off when you order early for Farm Fresh Flowers at Bouqs.com. That's Bouqs.com. Use the offer code ROB for 20% off. That's Bouqs.com. Coming to you live from the command center, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy whose entire podcasting career has just been one long butt dial. I'm Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to week three, or episode three, certainly, of our Hunted Recap Podcast. Very excited to talk about some new teams, some updates on some teams that are out on the run with our Hunted experts. First, let me introduce someone, one of our heads of operations, an intelligence analyst, Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
Doing great, Rob. Just looking for some men that will take me in for the evening, party with me, and maybe we can get some popcorn and beer.
Yes. Well, certainly I know a couple of guys that would be good for that. And then here's a guy who always gets his heart pumping. Here is the great Kurt Clark. Kurt, how are you?
Good. Just a second. I'm swiping right on all of the field teams. There's Cortese and Shadow. Okay, I'm good.
Good. I'm welcome aboard. Kurt, ready to talk about just a breezy hour of Hunted after last Wednesday's two-hour show. Just 1 hour, and it did fly right by. And I thought that Hunted was strong again. Kurt, do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I mean, we had 3 hours of Hunted in total last week, and I don't know what my heart is going to do now that I'm just down to like a third of that every week from here on out.
Yeah, is your heart beating fast now?
Yeah, but it's kind of come to, I'm already anticipating next week. So, but no, it's beating fast. It's beating fast, Rob.
Liana, was this too much of a tease for you now to only get 1 hour of Hunted?
Oh, Rob, how am I going to survive? My blood pressure is dropping. I feel like I'm going to pass out. I don't know how I'm going to make it with only an hour of Hunted a week.
Okay, well, luckily they jammed a lot into the hour. We saw four different teams this week. We had two new teams enter the mix. We had two updates to teams that are out there on the run. And we completely skipped over our A story for the season of no David and Emily update. Kurt, what gives with that?
Not sure. I was actually thinking about this a couple days ago, in terms of wondering if we were going to be seeing this sort of thing. Where are we going to actually revisit every single team every week? And I thought we might get like a day off from somebody, and it ended up happening. I actually didn't mind it. I thought there was plenty to go on. But yeah, what did you guys think?
Bring back Bavid.
Yes. Bavid and Emily were on their bye week this week.
That's right. Exactly.
They had a week three bye. So I guess maybe we'll see them next week. Who knows? Who knows what's going on? But I want to start with our top story. We got two new fugitives on the run. Miles and Will, they are millennial bros. They are looking to hook up with some chicks.
Yeah,
what a plan.
I just had this team labeled as Team Bro, so.
Oh, I had Team Dude Bro.
Team Dude Bro Miles and Will, they would have been many people's winner picks in a season of The Amazing Race. But here they are. They are on the run, and they are some good-looking millennial guys, and they've got a new plan. They are game changers when it comes to Hunted. This is their plan for how they are going to evade the hunters.
So are we going after girls tonight?
Yes, they are. They're going out there, and they're going to talk to as many women as possible and using pickup lines like this.
Is the interstate that way? Got your number?
He's got that Taylor laugh.
Yes. Kurt, did they talk to one man in the entire time that they were on the run?
I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, because we're kind of seeing, as they try to string together these 28 one-night stands, we see they get to like night 15, and it just seems to be one girl in, you know, the Myrtle Beach or Charleston area, wherever they were at, after another. But I'm wondering if, you know, we did maybe, you know, skip out on a couple kind of dude bromances that brought them in.
Liana, is this fan fiction? Was there a dude bromance along the way?
You know, there might have been. They said they were going to hide amongst their peers, you know, use that bro camouflage.
No, they were going to hide on a pier, they said.
Well, they should have hid under the pier, clearly. But yeah, they wanted to utilize their bro camouflage, or I would like to coin the term brofilage.
No, cam brofilage.
That sounds like something different.
Cam brofilage, we have to go with.
So that was their tactic. And they did talk to one guy at the very end, the boatman.
Yeah, the boatman. Yeah, that was a weird relationship. We'll get to the point where they end up sort of on the boat with the married couple. I don't know exactly what they had in store for them. But
talk about fan fiction.
Yes. That's a really different story. So let's talk about their time on the run. Miles and Will actually did, you know, I know we're going to make fun, but they actually did put together a pretty deep run into more than halfway, Kurt. What was it, day 15 when they got caught?
I think, you know, the last time we see them, I think approaching, somebody who was able to refer them to Anna, of the Anna and Liz duo. I think that was day 15. I don't know if they actually spent the night there or not, but I think they got to maybe like day 16.
Yeah. Or
maybe one more day than after that.
Kudos to them. Certainly way out of the Matt and Christina zone, we'll say.
Yeah, yes. I liked their tactic of creating a new network, right? Because there's so much emphasis that's placed on, okay, we're going to monitor these guys' network. But if you are hanging out with people that you've never met before, right, there's no way for them to know, for the command center people to know.
I'm sorry. I'm just like, this whole plan was like just one knife away from being like a serial killer's plot.
Okay. The quote that are we going after girls tonight? That could be used in a game of guess the serial killer quote.
So are we going after girls tonight?
Yeah, I guess they are. So I will give them credit, though, because they were able to evade the hunters for over 2 weeks, and they didn't make the fatal mistake that a lot of the teams make and call these people that are in their network. So they ended up getting busted by getting picked up by a very elaborate plan, which we will discuss. Operation Cupid's Revenge. It does seem like that they tend to go to the wanted poster after they don't have any leads on following up in their network. So, all right. So Miles and Will are going to go out and try to pick up as many women as possible. So we were going to see Charles take the lead. Maybe Charles could get the fishy this week, Kurt. Is that fair?
Charles, there may be one other candidate that we discuss in the course of this story.
Okay. Yeah.
He's definitely. Yeah. We'll get there. But I think Charles is definitely up at the top.
So Charles is going to take the lead. And so Charles has this idea. Hey, we got some hot guys, some hot millennial guys. They're handsome guys. They are going to the beach. And so what we're going to do is that we are going to hack their Tinder or hack into Tinder. And we're going to put wanted posters up on Tinder. If anybody has seen these guys, then they can swipe right and get a reward. Liana, did you know that this was possible?
I had no idea this was possible. I guess you can put wanted posters on pretty much anything nowadays.
Okay. Now, again, I have been out the game for too long. So I don't know a lot about what's going on the Tinder. Liana, can you tell us that? Have you ever used the Tinder?
I am not super familiar with the Tinder. I've used it. I've used my friends' Tinders just to mess with them, but I have never had a Tinder account of my own.
Tabulator?
Yeah, I used Tinder for like about 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay, good. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. So 10 minutes more than me. And so have you guys ever seen a wanted poster?
I think that's when you swipe right, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Who wouldn't want to match with that?
No, I did not see a wanted poster. No.
If yeah. I had seen a wanted poster, I 100% would have turned them in. Like I would not have had any qualms with making some money off of someone on Tinder.
Okay. So did they hack the actual Tinder of Miles and Will, or did they just put the wanted poster up on Tinder? Do either of you guys know this?
I wasn't sure at first, but there was something that was said in the car towards the end of the episode where they basically, somebody in the car said, they put this wanted poster up on your profile. Mm-hmm. So I believe they actually hacked their Tinder profile. I could be wrong on that. And, you know, no. And if.
Oh, well, I think that they did because they logged in through Facebook. See, that's a problem when you link Facebook to all these apps.
Right.
Facebook Connect.
And don't you think that these guys should have like disabled Tinder? Is that a thing you can do, Liana?
You should ask.
I don't know.
Kurt dating on Tinder Clark about that one.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Kurt, did you disable your Tinder after 10 minutes?
I deleted the app.
Oh, but we know that delete doesn't actually mean delete.
Yeah. Can Charles hack your Tinder?
Probably, I guess. And it's going to be very, very disappointed at what he sees. It's as were most of the women. I guess, I don't know. I think, well, it's one of those things where you don't necessarily, I think you might like, how do I disable my social media? But you might not necessarily think to do like the same thing with some of the dating apps that are out there. So I think, you know, kudos to Charles for like thinking outside the box on this one.
Yes, outside of the slave box, because that's what he had. He invented like this bot that was going to be just like putting this Tinder profile out there. And then I guess like swiping on all these different women's profiles to see if they had seen them. And so that they would show up in all sorts of different things. And it was going to, 300,000 women by the time that they got caught, Liana?
Well, you know, guys, I hear you just gotta just keep swiping right. So, yeah, that's maybe not an unreasonable number. Although, gosh, slave box is a really unfortunate name.
Yes. Do you think that there will be any dude bros that will hit Charles DeBarber up on Twitter to get access to the slave box that could just be swiping right on all the women in their area?
Yeah, I think so. That's how you maximize your chances, right? It's all a numbers game.
Yeah, it's a numbers game, right? Somebody's bound to swipe right after you apply enough, right?
Yeah, despite it being a numbers game, the tabulator still did not have any success.
Kurt, you were on it for 10 minutes.
Exactly. You didn't get yourself a slave box.
Yeah. Okay. So we got to work on that. I'll tell you who really liked this plan. Dr. Max was very enthusiastic about this plan, Liana.
Oh, Max was all about the plan. I wonder if Max uses Tinder. Maybe he was excited about the use of a slave box for himself.
Yeah, Dr. Max, we haven't seen a lot of him. He was in the first episode, and then I feel like that he's been in the background. You know, so we saw him more than a couple of the other people at Mission Control, but he's been more, maybe his big episodes are coming.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, there's 32 people there. They kind of got to share the love. Yeah.
Well, not 32. There's new people.
That's true. There's people who aren't even in the org chart.
They're not even in the org chart.
Yeah, so you guys spotted new people at Mission Control that don't have bios on CBS.com?
We're looking at you, Bethany.
Bethany. What does Bethany do?
I can't remember.
She's the intern.
Okay.
Yeah, we figured she's an intern because she's not in the org chart. That's the closest we can all come up with.
We got a new intern, people. Her name is Bethany. We don't have time to fit her into the org chart. Just trust us. All right. We end up with Miles and Will, and they are evading the hunters for quite some time. We see them day 10, day 11. They're hanging out on Edesto Beach, just picking up different random women night after night. Kurt, do you think that there was any romantic connections between Miles and Will and some of these women that they met along the way? Was there a showmance that happened before our very eyes? Or I guess not before our very eyes.
My guess is that Operation Netflix and Chill did not actually lead to any success on that front. No.
No.
I've been thinking that. I think you would have seen it like day 11. And then it's like next time, day 14, they go on somewhere else. But it seemed the fact that they were kind of being able to go on to the next place every day makes me think they were kind of like, cutting their ties every night.
Well, yeah, that's what you do in a one night stand, right? That's what they're up to.
I wouldn't know, Liana, but I'll tell you, we'll go with that. Liana, so this is what I was trying to understand I have no concept of walking up to women and then they said, okay, sure, you can come and sleep at our house. Is it just that these are sort of like clean cut, good looking guys that people are not threatened and these women will let these guys and their camera crew come and live at their house?
I have no idea. I'm honestly concerned for the future, considering that my generation, particularly the women, are just letting random people into their homes. This sounds like a really quick way to get murdered. Is it just because they had a cameraman?
I don't know.
That's what I'm wondering is like there were a lot of these shots where I think we've talked a little bit about how the presence of a camera or cameraman potentially, helps or declines. I mean, keep in mind, all these women aren't letting two people stay with them. They're letting
three
people stay with them.
It didn't help those Blair Witch Project kids, Kurt.
But they have their own cameras.
Yeah.
Here it's like on one hand we said, well, if you see a cameraman with them, it's going to like obviously make it very readily apparent that they were part of the show, and it's going to make it easier for the hunters to find them. By the flip side, I think the women wouldn't have let them necessarily been as to stay with them if they didn't necessarily see the cameras there. And I think they might have actually felt a little bit safer, or maybe a little bit more legitimized in terms of like maybe probably having to sign a waiver of some sort to say they're going to be on TV. So I think the camera may have helped them in this case.
Okay. Where's the deliverance guy?
Yeah, that
that's
guy.
True.
That was more that the hunters were more afraid of the deliverance guy.
Yeah, I've never seen that movie Deliverance, has you?
I think, I thought that this show was going to be educational, but I think I'm learning the wrong things from the show.
The wrong lessons.
Yeah. Like all I need to do is bring a camera crew with me and I think I can pretty much get away with anything.
Yeah. No, I think that that's 100% the lesson that you should be learning from Haunted.
Well, it was interesting because when we'll talk about their experience getting on the boat at the end, but in that scenario, it was very obvious that the camera person was staying off to the side, like hidden in some trees or some bushes. And that might have been because the hunters were actually like, hot on their trail, but I guess they wouldn't know that. But at the same time, I felt like that the guys were a little less certain in their approach when there wasn't a camera there with them. They seemed to be faltering a little bit or less confident in themselves. So there might be something to the cameras either adding to the confidence of both the team or the people that they were talking to. So
you know what they say, Kurt? The camera adds 10 pounds of confidence.
There we go.
In all the right places, Carson. Yeah. Sorry, that's a Celebrity Apprentice callback. All right. So let's get into the saga of Annie and Liz. So Miles and Will start chatting up Liz on the beach. Do I have this right, Liana?
Yeah, Liz, sure.
Okay.
Oh, I thought it was a friend of Anna and Liz's who referred them to Anna and Liz. I didn't realize it was Liz on the beach. But I kind of missed that entire thing.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Either way.
Liana, could you explain the complicated relationships here? Because there's a bunch of sisters that is somebody dating somebody here. What is going on?
Okay, I used whatever that technology was that, what was it called? Link analysis? Yeah, so I pulled
LinkedIn.
Up my...
LinkedIn, it's called.
I pulled up their LinkedIn networks. Yeah, okay, so here's the way I understand it. Liz was on the beach, and Anna is Liz's girlfriend, I believe.
Okay, they are a dating couple, or just like girlfriend, as in my friend that's a girl?
Dating couple, from what I understood.
Yeah, because on the cryon it said girlfriends versus just friend, I believe. So They're together, and then there's some unknown number of siblings.
At least two.
Yes.
Were they Liz's siblings or Anna's?
No, Anna's sister Flynn was in the house. And this is one of those rare moments where the camera actually like leaves our, you know, team dude bro, and is like upstairs in the house with Anna and Liz and Flynn, and kind of catching this debate about, you know, whether we're going to, you know, do what we're going to do about this wanted poster we just found.
Anna, Flynn, and Mary Scott, who will come into the picture later, are sisters. So there's three sisters, Anna has a girlfriend that's named Liz. Okay, so at different points, though, it seems as though all three of the Scott sisters consider turning in Miles.
These are the only people with some sense.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I would say Liz is the voice of reason, but what's the opposite of that? Because Liz is like the voice of bad decisions.
Yeah. Liana, I thought you were going to say that all three of them are rats. You say that all three of them are smart.
Again, this is how you get murdered, people. Don't let randoms into your home.
All right. So as the situation is being explained, there's a huddle between Anna, Liz, and Flynn. Somebody has spotted the wanted poster on Tinder. I'm going to presume that it was Flynn, Kurt.
Very well could be.
It looked like Liz,
potentially.
It looked like Liz, which I thought was surprising, because that's why I was confused as to whether or not they were dating, because what's Liz doing looking for people on the side?
That I don't know. That we can't explain. Maybe we can get one of the hunters to explain the complicated relationship. We need one of those flowcharts. Right. Charles, work on that flowchart of the network of Liz.
The family, it's ancestry.com. Yeah.
But Liz says, don't turn them in, because Anna was thinking about it. She's like, okay, fine, I won't turn them in.
Yeah, I get the feeling that at some point, Anna complained to Mary.
Yes.
You won't believe what our sister's keeping me from doing.
So then we have a tip coming in from Mary Scott Valentine.
That sounds like such a fictional name. If I was going to write
Scott
a fictional character.
Valentine, she has spotted Miles and Will, and she single-handedly is going to bring down this whole operation because she wants a reward. They're staying at her sister's house. She gives up Anna's phone number. And so the jig is up. She lets the hunters know exactly where Miles and Will are. And then I guess she told their sisters that she narked on Miles and Will, Liana.
Yeah, apparently. She's like, I don't care. I'll tell him.
Yes. Okay. So here is the moment that Miles and Will find out that Mary Scott Valentine has ratted them out.
Our other sister turned you guys in.
What?
Are you serious?
Yeah, she turned you guys in.
They know we're in Edisto?
Yeah, I think so.
What the hell?
We can get out of Edisto.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
I don't know if you can catch that at the end, this part. Yeah, that's why I hate Mary Scott is what was said at the end of that.
Typical Mary.
Classic Mary
classic,
Scott.
Classic Mary.
Classic Mary.
They know we're in Edisto?
Yeah, I think so.
What the hell?
What the hell, Mary?
What the hell? What the hell, Mary Scott Valentine?
Sisters before misters, I guess, right?
I guess so.
That quote? The do you care about money or your soul?
Yeah.
Clearly Mary Scott cares about money.
Yeah, well, that's what Liz said to Anna to get her to not turn the guys in, Miles and Will. Mary Scott Valentine apparently does not care. Full disclosure, I have looked for a Mary Scott Valentine on Facebook, and I have deployed a friend request. I will keep you guys updated if I have a new Facebook friend. Mary's got that. Although this is probably maybe the worst person to add on Facebook, because if I ever go on the run and the hunters get my Facebook page, I know one person who's definitely turning me in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was going to say you should put in an application to work for the command center with those Facebook skills. But now clearly I see the mistake you've made.
Yeah. So I think I found the real one. So I've deployed the Facebook friend request to see, because I don't hate Mary Scott. This is well, not clear, why I hate Mary Scott.
Mary Scott doesn't like random people. So what's the likelihood she accepts your friend request?
I guess, I don't know. We'll see. 50-50. Maybe she thinks that she can just keep tabs on me. And if there's ever a chance to turn me in for money.
Yeah. Okay. Well, when Team Alpha shows up at your door.
Yeah, she'll give me right up. Now, how awkward is this going to be, Kurt, for the Valentine family after Anna told a national TV audience, this is why I hate Mary Scott?
I mean, Anna was thinking about turning her in the first place. So it's really, she's got no place to kind of criticize.
This is why
Mary
I hate
Scott.
Mary Scott. She always turns into fugitives before I do.
Every damn time.
She always does that. That is so classic Mary Scott Valentine.
Do you think it's going to be more awkward in the Valentine household or more awkward with the neighbor? What was...
yeah.
Robin's the...
neighbor. Right.
Right.
So, yeah. So now Miles and Will are going to be forced on the run, and Anna is going to take them down to a beach area. Kurt, what is the name of the beach that they're headed down to on the South Carolina coast?
Beaufort.
We are going on the coast, and Liana, that we are talking about in the first episode about this, I said this show, in a lot of ways, I feel like it's like a serial. And you scoffed and said about like, well, we didn't track the cell phone towers, but now who's laughing?
Oh, man, they must have called Sarah Koenig and gotten on that. But didn't we learn in Serial that actually doesn't work very well?
No.
So
it worked.
I don't know.
It worked. Yeah, we had the team. Who is it? Was it Mike saying that if I can find the cell phone towers, I can find a body?
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like Serial.
Yeah. So they were on it. And so Miles and Will seemingly have lost their mojo, Kurt, because they are striking out with all of the eligible women on the South Carolina coast.
Well, but given that Lenny says that they're now in a great party area,
yeah,
that might be a great party area for like Lenny's demographic.
Yeah. Oh, is that it?
They might have moved away from like where all the 23-year-olds are. And they're like,
Lenny is like, hey, trust me, this place is a great place to party. I've been down there. There's all these restaurants, there's bars. Like Lenny is, he knows how to have a good time.
I'd party with Lenny. There's a bar in the water. Did you guys hear that? If I'm ever on the run, that's where I'm going to hang out.
Great partying area. He's been there a lot of times before.
Yeah, yeah. But I think maybe this was maybe above the age range of our dude bros. So I think they just lost their mojo from that perspective.
Okay. So Miles and Will, they are striking out with all of the women, but we encounter... middle-aged couple, things are getting a little run-of-the-mill and maybe down on the beach looking to spice things up on the boat, Kurt.
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt here.
We meet Steve and Steve's wife. I didn't catch her name, Liana.
I don't think they knew her name either.
They didn't know her name. And Steve says, all right, Miles and Will, you can come and stay on the boat with the wife and I tonight.
That's quite an invitation.
It's quite an invitation. Meanwhile, Miles and Will think that they are in the clear, but nearby, Team Echo was moving into position. Jonathan and the great Allison were getting close enough so that they were able to launch a drone when it looks as though, who spots on the map that, hey, maybe they're going into these boats? Was that Ben, Kurt?
I think
that was Ben.
Ben knew about the boats, and he was the one who predicted earlier in the episode that all of this carousing was going to end up being a problem for Miles and Will. Here's what he said.
It'll only be a matter of time before it bites them right in the backside.
Yes, he called his shot. It's only a matter of time until the old Mary Scott Valentine was going to bite them right in the backside.
She just chomped down hard.
Yeah. And they're hanging out on the boat, you know, like two bros would, like, you know, partying on the beach, like standing on the boat. But that was not the right place to stand, Kurt, because they were right in prime time drone viewing.
Yeah. And it wasn't clear if, like, I don't know how much we can get on them for... standing out in plain sight without, you know, maybe they thought they were in the, okay, well, let's be fair. We can get on them a lot for it, to be completely honest, but they deploy the drone and the drone spots them. I think, you know, many of us are thinking that they should have been kind of just hanging out inside the boat, but you can really only do that for so long before you can get a little, you know, stir crazy
kind of, with Steve and the wife asking all sorts of creepy questions.
Yeah. Maybe they're trying to escape them.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
They're like, Steve, we're going to go out and get some air if that's okay. We're getting a little uncomfortable.
Where other people can see us.
Yeah. And Steve's like, well, it sure is getting hot in here, wouldn't you say? And I'm like, all right, Steve, we're gonna just get some air.
It would suck if we were captured right about now.
They were waving their arms.
Help!
It's the yacht that's waving a white flag or something over it.
Get us off this boat.
What's the international distress call from Dude Bros in Trouble?
Yeah, seriously.
All right. So they get spotted by the drone. We are moving the teams in. Steve ends up getting into like a Zodiac life boat to be able to try to get them to the shore. And then it's a race to the shore. And it doesn't look like it's going to end well. Miles and Will try to make a run for it on foot, but their time on the run would be over. Cupid's revenge. Put it in the books. That's it.
Shot him with the arrow. Got him. I don't understand why they didn't make for international waters. Could they have just turned the boat out? Does CBS have authority in the ocean?
I don't think CBS has authority anywhere.
That's actually under the jurisdiction of CBS, as in like SEABS, that they are in charge of everything that happens on the water. No, but in all seriousness, I think that there is like some sort of like they have like 100,000 square miles in terms of. And not 100,000 square miles in Will. And so I think that they have a certain like surface area with which they're allowed to go to. I don't know if they like went like into the ocean, if that like they automatically lose because they went off the map of where they're supposed to be.
And yeah, and I think you have to keep in mind that the ship owner and his wife were really only going to be going so far to help them.
Yeah. And Steve and his wife are like, well, if you guys are busted, I guess then if you want to come back and crash on the boat tonight, feel free. No, so we have to get home, Steve. Sorry about that.
Our boat's always open.
The boat's always open. Just the offer's out there.
Oh no, we're running as fast as we can from these SWAT teams on the docks. Please don't capture us.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It was one and done for Miles and Will. Kurt, were you entertained at least?
I was entertained. This was good. I was wondering which team. I figured we were going to have a one and done team this episode. I was wondering, you know, who it was going to be.
Yeah.
I think we've had one almost each episode. We had a couple overlaps, but I figured it was them. It was going to be them.
Yeah. Case of the week. So, Liana, did you enjoy Miles and Will?
I did enjoy Miles and Will. I don't understand. I think Will dyed his hair.
Yeah.
Did you guys catch that?
Yeah. He had like red hair later on in the episode.
That was pretty bad. That was a bad choice. But I don't know. I thought that it was interesting. It was definitely a unique strategy. They might qualify for the Game Changers season of Hunted. Overall, positive.
What was the objective for, was it Miles or Will that dyed his hair? Where it was like, okay, I'm going to have the same exact haircut, but it's going to be a little redder. I think that maybe that'll really throw people off.
It wasn't even that different. It was like he went a shade redder and that was it. And they're going to wear the same outfits.
Yeah, I'm going to put like some sun in.
If you had gun to my head, tell the difference between Miles and Will. I don't think I had enough of their time on the TV to be able to do that.
Yes. Mary Scott Valentine, could you tell us what you saw? Yeah, I saw a good looking blonde guy. I'm sorry. Did you say blonde or strawberry blonde? Okay. Oh, okay. No. Okay. Man, that's not our guy. All right.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Move along.
Thanks for the call. Oh, this is why I hate Mary Scott. Okay, let's check back in with one of our favorite teams in the Hunted verse, and that would be escape room experts Lee and Hilmar, and they had a real escape room situation that they were dealing with as Team Alpha got a phone call from Lee's wife. So Buck and Griff, of course, last week they had the conversation with Lee's wife. And that was when they sensed that she was lying when she used a word that had L-Y when she said honestly, that's when he knew that she was lying. And so somehow Beth Wilson butt dialed Griff and left a message about slashing tires. Liana, was that even a call to Lee?
I'm actually worried about what Beth is doing on the side. She's like, my husband is on the run. I can finally get away with all this stuff I've been meaning to do.
Yeah. Why was she talking about slashing tires, Kurt?
I don't know. She's a neat woman.
Yeah.
That confused me. And I think just as much as I think Buck and Griff were confused by the call, Beth was probably confused by the call that, you know, she gave back to him. And I like now that the hunters are just referring to Hilmar by his last name, Skagfield.
Yes.
That was the highlight of this little segment for me. It's like Lee Wilson and Skagfield are on the run. And I'm like, awesome.
Is it possible that Beth Wilson works in some sort of like auto parts superstore and that she is a manager planning out the weekly circular and like, okay, all right, we gotta, you know, let's make half off of the wipers over here and then let's slash tires. Let's just slash them 75%. All right. Are you hearing me?
Explanation.
Yes. So Griff, he calls up Mission Control, the command center, and says that, okay, let's call her back. And so they were really trolling Beth Wilson on the call, Liana.
I don't know what they were going to get out of it. That's all it was. They're just messing with her.
Yeah, they really had nothing. They were totally bluffing with her. And they said, we got a voicemail from you. You butt dialed me. Like, okay. You're going to slash some tires, huh, Beth? Huh? What's going on, Beth?
That's like those I've seen on the internet when somebody texts you and then it's the wrong number, but the other person just plays along. Like they're just messing with her. Like
I really don't
know what this accomplished in terms of finding Lee and Skagfield.
Yeah. Well, they said to her, hey, don't worry. We won't tell your husband that it was your fault that he got busted on Hunted. Don't worry.
They really are just completely trolling her. I think they're having we've had more, they've had more phone time with Beth than Beth has had with her husband. So,
Yeah.
And apparently she has the burner phone as well as her own phone.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. That was smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Griff was sort of doing like bad cop with her. Like there was nobody like that. You know, they didn't put like Buck on the phone to say, don't worry. Everything's cool. You could talk to us. If you know anything, if you hear anything, you could let us know. That Griff was just busting her chops.
Yeah.
Trying to make her panic.
And is your blood pressure starting to rise?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's deeply unsettling.
Everybody at the command center was loving it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're just messing with her.
Well, but keep in mind that we have like in Lee and Skagfield, like they're just messing with the ground teams, like leaving them like shots of whiskey and little notes saying we'll see you in 28 days. And so I think this is their revenge. This is like they're going to mess with us. We're going to mess with them. Yeah.
The reaction at the command center, like there are a bunch of like fourth graders at like a sleepover party and they're like making prank phone calls. They're like, excuse me, Mrs. Wilson, is your refrigerator running right now?
Yeah. Is your husband running right now?
You better go catch it. Hang on, bam.
Exactly. Maybe that's what they're doing in their free time. They're just calling all these people and just making prank calls.
All right, we got a lot of numbers in the phone book. Let's call all of them. See if they know anything.
It's part of Robert Clark's strategy.
It was a good strategy because they did rattle. Much like the Paula Calafiore strategy, they did rattle Beth Wilson a little bit, and she did put in a call. Or actually, I think Hilmar called Beth Wilson, and she explained what was going on. And again, it doesn't seem like the hunters are any closer to Lee and Hilmar. but they are aware that they are frequently harassing Beth Wilson.
That's right. Now they at least feel better about themselves. They were able to raise their self-esteem.
Yeah.
I just loved it when Beth is like explaining to them, so I butt-dialed the hunters.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a hard phone call to make.
Typical Beth.
Classic Beth. Classic Beth Wilson, butt-dialing the hunters. I mean, that's the kind of thing that you could not even, like, imagine drawing up, where you have somebody who's a fugitive, and then their spouse is butt-dialing the law enforcement.
Do butt-dials still happen? I used to do it all the time when I had a BlackBerry. I used to butt-dial, like, random contacts, but ever since I have a touchscreen, I don't think that happens.
I've gotten a couple butt-dials in the past 6 months from others, so yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
It happens. There's a lot of baby dials that happen over here also, where like kids get the phone. And you know when I butt-dial people is FaceTime. That FaceTime, I think I've said this, that it needs like, are you sure you want to FaceTime this person? Because like FaceTime, you just like could hit the button and it has like your whole list of everybody you've ever FaceTimed, and you could just touch the screen and all of a sudden you're FaceTiming. It's like, turn it off. Stop. And your camera is on. It's like the worst possible thing to be butt dialing.
I was going to say you're butt timing them, right?
Yeah. Yes. And it's always for me personally, Kurt, that on a couple of occasions I have accidentally butt dialed a former podcast host who was recently on Celebrity Big Brother UK. And I'm like, no, stop. That has happened like two or three times. I don't know why that keeps happening.
Awkward.
Like, hang up. Okay. Kurt, do you feel like that Lee and Hilmar are in a position to be a team that we see the whole season?
I think potentially. Given that we really got about, you know, 5 to 10 minutes of their story this week, we started a day late with them. I could see them kind of catching up story wise to David and Emily potentially, and then kind of having them on similar footing. If I had to guess, like who's going to have a presence in the last episode out of the teams we're seeing now, I would think David and Emily and Lee and Hilmar. So I think they may not go all the way and win, but I think we'll see them in the final episode.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they format the show. I mean, I feel like that these people that seem like their catch is imminent, I think that they could be a situation like Angela and Michelle and just be over two episodes. But the people that have now gone into three episodes here, like Lee and Hilmar and like Arif and Ahmad that we'll talk about later, I kind of feel like that they're going to be around for a while.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance of that. We've only got one more team we haven't seen. And we'll be meeting them next week. So at that point, we're going to have kind of five teams on rotation for the rest of the season.
Yes. And next week, when we end up meeting English and Steven, Liana, they're definitely a one and done, right?
Oh, they have to be. They're not going to make it long.
No, you don't think so. Okay. So before we end up meeting Centra and Two, let me just take a moment and thank one of our sponsors, and those are the fine people at Blue Apron, who can help you make incredible home-cooked meals, whether you're on the run or not, because not all ingredients are created equal, and especially when you're out running about like these hunted teams, it's hard to find high-quality ingredients. Well, Blue Apron is going to send them to you at your house, so you have them there when you are hiding from people or whatever, you don't want to go out. Blue Apron is perfect for that. Of course, Kurt, I know you're a big Blue Apron guy.
Yeah, I actually have a delivery coming this Friday, a couple days from now.
We're big fans in my house of the Blue Apron. I love to get different things into the mix, spice things up, just like Steve and his wife on the boat. They were looking to spice things up. It's great for your food rotation to get new things in the mix, because Blue Apron has a great variety with new recipes every single week. You'll never get bored. It's affordable for less than $10 per meal per person. You can have great seasonal recipes from Blue Apron. Liana, on a hunted budget, just think about it. There's one trip to the ATM and boom, you're good for a couple of weeks on Blue Apron.
Yeah, that sounds great. Do I have to get them in five separate packages, or do they all come in one?
Yes. Well, you'll get all the meals for a week in each shipment. It's easy, and the freshness is guaranteed. They promise that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. Go to blueapron.com/Rob. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Rob for three free meals. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right, let's get into the saga of Sentra and Two, who are friends that have the same last name, but they are not related, Kurt.
Yeah, apparently. I was hoping that they would both be named after Nissan models, but apparently just one is, and then they drive a Nissan.
Yeah, they're going to drive an Xterra. Sentra does, but maybe there she gets like some sort of a deal or a discount, but no, that does not appear to be the case. So they are just friends. Two is a wedding photographer. Sentra is a real estate agent. And Sentra also plays a lot of Call of Duty. Do either of you play any of the Call of Duty?
I slay bitches all day long.
Yes. That's what Sentra
says. I'm having flashbacks to the serial killer team that we talked about earlier.
So were you on after girls tonight?
Yeah. Call of Duty.
I've played very, very little Call of Duty, a little bit of Black Ops 2, but not a whole lot.
They have a plan. They are going to get their hands on some burner phones. They are going right to the CVS to get some burner phones. They're going to take money out of the ATM. First thing they're buying is burner phones, and they are headed off on the run to go camping. Liana, Sentra and Two, do you think that they are on the right path?
No.
What is their big mistake they're making?
Well, apparently, so they have the same understanding of burner phones that I do. But I'd be like, yeah, just get a burner phone. That's going to be totally fine.
Easiest $250,000 we ever made.
Yeah, exactly. Just get a burner phone and everything will be all right. But no, Mike's got it on lock. He's going to find those authorized dealers of burner phones.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like they kind of followed that David and Emily strategy of let's hit an ATM as close as possible to our starting point. So we can kind of, you know, confuse them from that point on. But then they have the idea. I mean, maybe they did this with David and Emily too, is let's check in the immediate vicinity for the purchase of burner phones and to see if anything pops and see if we can kind of get a clue that way.
Yeah. They needed to load up on gas as well, that there's a sequence that takes place at the gas station where they're very aware of the gas station cameras and they actually like back out in a certain way where it's tough for them to get the driver's license. But they do pick up that they are driving the Xterra again, not the Nissan Sentra. This the Sentra in the Nissan Xterra. And so we end up meeting Rob, Two's friend, a fellow photographer who also enjoys a play at Shirley, Anna.
Is this the Rob that sucks?
Well, not exactly. Not exactly. I mean, he's pretty good. So he goes with, is that Sentra that he takes to Walgreens?
I think it was.
I think so.
Yeah. And she has a signature look, Kurt. What is Sentra's signature look?
Is it the floppy hat?
Yes, it was a floppy hat.
Foiled by a floppy hat.
See, yeah. I thought that the Walgreens footage that we saw was that was the purchase of the burner phone at the beginning when they were with the fiance, Alec.
Oh, that's right.
Because okay. so that was the kind of the first footage they had. So I think the very first footage they had was they hit the ATM at the gas station where they're getting gas, and that's where we say, okay, she's got a floppy hat. Then later they do get a ping on a Walgreens that was near the ATM that sold a burner phone. They go to the footage at the Walgreens and they see the floppy hat, verify that it's the same person, get the receipt, get the phone number for the burner phone that was bought, and then that's how they end up tracking down Rob.
And also then they go on Facebook, they see that Rob is in Two's circle of trust, and Team Delta is going to move in. I believe this is the first time that we got to see Team Delta Paul and Jackie, what do you think of Team Delta, Liana?
The standouts. I remember everything about them. yeah, as I don't know. I'm still like the only people that I still recognize are probably Shadow and Cordis. But sure. Yeah. Team Delta. Go Team Delta.
No Jonathan and Allison. No Griff and Buck.
Come on.
I mean, even after last week, no Jermaine and Chad.
Well, we didn't get a whole lot of them other than kind of the cliffhanger ending of, you know, Jackie going up to Rob's door and Paul kind of sneaking around the back in case the girls try to make an escape there.
Yeah.
But I think we're kind of overlooking the fact. I think we have a theme here that if you're going to go camping, they made the Troy and Shelley mistake, didn't they? It's like they were out in the woods camping for several days, got sick of the ramen, and basically wanted some like warm shelter and food and maybe a shower. I mean, the same thing that they just didn't have the whole deliverance part of the experience. So
right.
But like they decided, you know, let's stop this camping thing. And then that's, I think, potentially what's going to trip them up.
If you could just go into the woods, Kurt, going back to your original philosophy and stay off said grid, then it seems like you can win hunted. Like if we could just get like some of these like naked and afraid people on this show, if they could just go out there and live out in, you know, the woods for, I mean, it's June. It's the summer. You could do it. You know, if you could just camp out there for a couple of weeks, then that's good. I think what you should do is go to the ATM, get $100, just like buy like $500 worth of supplies, like on the first day, like hit five ATMs and then just get in the woods.
I think they can only get $100 a day.
A day. Okay.
So they'd have to bounce around for a little bit, but still you get 5 days in, get your $500 and then just book it for the woods.
Yeah.
And just literally live off the grid. Don't get any burner phones.
What do you need them for?
Exactly. And if you're naked and afraid, where are you going to hold it? We don't want to know.
Right. Liana, is Delta Team about to bust Sentra and Two?
I really think so. The problem was they went near a device that was powered by electricity. They didn't go back to the Stone Age. And we've got Paul is hiding out in the backyard. I mean, they're going to get caught.
I don't see how
they get out of this one.
Except the fact is, like, I don't think they would have a cliffhanger like this,
right,
only to have them caught in the first minute of the next episode. I mean, they're not going to bring him back for the next episode just for that one point and then being cut. I have a sneaky feeling that they're already out of Rob's house, or I have a feeling that they're not there, or that Rob's going to actually put up a decent bluff and say, yeah, I picked them up, but I dropped them someplace else. Or I don't know, but I think they're going to be safe. I think they're going to be safe for the beginning of the episode, but I'm not so sure if they'll make it to the end of the episode. They may get caught at some point during the next episode.
Do you think that they traded in the floppy hat for some wigs?
Yeah, that would be perfect if they could just get on the run and get some of those wigs like Matt and Christina. Maybe they could like switch and could we get like some sort of like Miles and Will type dye job?
They're strawberry blonde. We'll never know.
Yeah. That'd be a good way to throw them off. So we have one other team to talk about tonight. It was the return of Arif and Ahmad. And we last saw them where they had gotten to Jill Brown's farm or Linda's farm from Meadow. But Meadow apparently has been compromised, Kurt.
Yeah, I think, well, there's several farms at play here. So it was like, I think they transferred from Meadow and through Meadow's network from Meadow to Diane to Jason. And I think Jason dropped them off at Jill's farm and Jill's trying to find an opportunity to transfer them to Linda's farm. But Linda's not home right now. So we're going to have to leave a message.
They were trying to get dropped off in Jill's Meadow. They got totally crossed up.
But I think that troubling news is, you know, at least, you know, Meadow reaches out to Jill, lets her know that she thinks that the whole stream of contacts was compromised because she thinks she's being followed. And at this point, yeah. I don't know if you interpret that as Meadow just being paranoid or is Meadow legitimately being followed?
I don't know. Liana, is it just me or do these people look like that they are sort of like doomsday preppers to begin with?
All the people on the farms?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely. They're ready. If the apocalypse happens, I would go to Jill's farm.
Yeah, I just feel like something is off between Meadow and Jill and Linda. It just seems like that they seem like they are ready for this. We'll get to Linda, but she has like campers and kayaks just to give out at the ready, Kurt. This seems like they have like way too much preparation for this.
Well, I was saying last week that I thought that Troy and Shelley were the survivalist Bella of this season, but I think that Linda has survivalist Bella down to a T.
Yes. And I think that polyamorous Steve also showed up from Utopia.
Oh dear. And she's also polycamperous Linda.
Polycamperiff. So Team Golf is moving into the situation, and Team Golf is going to talk to Poker Face Jill Brown, Liana. She doesn't give them anything.
Did Jill say she was going to shoot them? Did she threaten them?
No, she just described a common thing you see in these parts.
When somebody around shows these parts, up
looking... around these parts, you might get shot if you are seen doing this. I'm not saying I'm going to do it.
With the binoculars. Yeah, she had that nervous laughter down.
Right. It was shades of the, Mandy, Troy and Shelley's friend from last week, who really, feeling the pressure from an interrogation from the Hunters. Definitely a red flag that this person is very much involved with aiding and abetting Arif and Ahmad.
Yeah, and it's just maybe it's just my city life is like so far two episodes in a row we've seen discussions between law enforcement and people at gates. I don't see that a lot where I'm at.
Yeah,
I don't know. Team Golf seemed very nice. They said they'd help her if she had a flat on the side of the road. I don't understand why she's so nervous.
She's nervous. She doesn't want to piss off Arif and Ahmad. They get off to Linda's farm, where we meet Linda and Bobby, who are giving out soap and body wash, Liana.
And don't forget the toothpaste.
Yes. Now, do we know if Arif ever got a cheeseburger?
I don't know. I don't. I mean, he's got the toothpaste. He's got the bath soap. He's going to get a camper and a kayak. What more does he need?
Seems like that they're on their way. And that was really it that we saw from Arif and Ahmad, Kurt.
Yeah, we at least have an idea of what their plans are. It sounds like they plan to spend a night out in the camper, and then they're going to spend a night on the lake. So they're literally going to kind of take the kayak, which I'm guessing then is a two-person kayak. Like, at least with like a canoe or a rowboat, you can like lie down and sleep. But kayaks, aren't you kind of like in that weird kneeling, like kind of stuck in that hole? Yeah. Like, how do you spend a night on the lake in the kayak? That does not sound comfortable.
Well, plus we know now that the hunters can catch them in the water since we saw that boat chase. So clearly they're not going to be safe in a kayak.
Oh, I disagree, because Troy and Shelley, I feel like that they made good use of the kayak. It seems like that this is the plan to get away from the hunters, where you go into like some sort of a lake or a stream. I mean, the problem with the pier was that they were like, everybody knew that they were there. If they can just like get down into like a river or some sort of like body of water where there's not a lot of coverage, this could be a good way for Arif and Ahmad to slip away for a while.
Well, yeah, like lake stationary. Lake, maybe not the best idea. A stream or a river, that's like having it as a mode of transportation to get you somewhere, perhaps. But like, are they just like going to leave the camper behind and let Linda and Bobby pick it up? And like, we'll let you know where the kayak is in a few days. Or like, do they literally, like you said, have a bunch of these to spare that they can just kind of give them out willy nilly to any, you know, reality show contestants that stop by?
I think Linda and Bobby are ready for anything.
Yeah, that's
they're ready. They're ready for whatever.
They have a plethora of toothpaste and bath soap. They could definitely survive if the CBS hunters showed up.
Okay. Let's do power rankings real quick. And by power rankings, I mean that the order in which these people will be caught of our four outstanding teams. So just to reset, of course, we have Bavid and Emily, who we didn't see this week. Arif and Ahmad, Centra and two, and of course the escape room specialists, Lee and Hilmar.
Wait, are we gonna? What about what's a team we haven't met? Steven and English.
Well, they're number one.
You want to include them?
Well, there would be bottom of my rankings.
I don't know. If they are introduced next week, I kind of feel like that maybe we might have a week where we don't introduce them and then maybe save that for another week, because then you have to imagine we have 4 weeks left, I think, of Hunted. And so we got to fill up a lot of this time. So I think a lot of these people are going to be good for a while.
Yeah, potentially. Although it looked like from the previews, we do see them next week. So I'm pretty sure we are going to get an introduction to them and have all the teams on the table potentially. I mean, we might have another bye week for somebody. Probably not David and Emily.
Okay.
But we'll see what happens.
So let's go in reverse order. The first team that's getting caught is who? Sentra and two?
That's what I would go with. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's easy. Sentra and two on the bottom of the power rankings. Okay. Then of the other three teams, who's number three?
I'm going to go with Ahmad and Arif.
Liana, you on board with that?
So if they can stay off the grid, I would feel better about their chances, but I get the sense that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm torn between them and Lee and Hilmar, because I think that with Lee and Hilmar, the Hunters do, you know, they did get a big lead with that call to Beth. But can they track the phone that she had to the phone that she used to call Hilmar?
Right. Well, since she's operating off with that other burner phone, I really do think they were just messing with her. I don't think that they actually
they
got
nothing.
Anything.
They came
they
no closer to them this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess with Arif and Ahmad, it does look like Team Golf is closing in after that conversation with Jill Brown.
Yeah. And it sounds like Linda's farm is just 2 miles down the road. So I think they're at
and
least
Linda
in the
might
vicinity.
Fold pretty quick too, under some questioning. Okay. So and then would you have then Lee and Hilmar at number two, or would you have them even ahead of David and Emily, Liana?
I'm putting Lee and Hilmar first. Same I think up. That they have nothing. I think that the Hunters have nothing on them. And
are you guys just Lee and Hilmar apologists?
I already explained that I'm biased. Do I need to give the disclaimer again?
No.
No. I feel really confident about Lee and Hilmar and David and Emily. I think that both of those teams we're going to see in the finale. I think one is going to get away. I think one is going to get caught.
Okay.
And I'm going off on what they know. They've found this some sort of mail thing going on in terms of the snail mail going out to this group of people, but they don't even yet know about the Gmail chain that's going on, or the Gmail group. Lee and Hilmar don't know that, and they're pretty much made the decision to dump the whole Gmail thing, which is probably a wise decision. But really, they've got nothing on Lee and Hilmar. With David and Emily, we've got that planner. And the fact that they're basically David and Emily are off basically operating off the same planner that the command center has. And so I think that's going to kind of there's going to be some cat and mouse that goes on there. But they're going to eventually get caught before Lee and Skagfield are.
You both say Lee and Hilmar are number one.
Yes.
OK, I will disagree. Well, we can disagree on our rankings. I think that David and Emily are still number one. I'm going to go with David and his experience over Lee and Hilmar, but we will see how it all plays out the rest of the season. Let me get to some questions here from the listeners of the Hunted Recap Podcast. Edmo wants to know, who was the MVP this week? Was it Kurt Charles DeBarber, as I speculated earlier?
This is the question. Was it Charles DeBarber? Or was it Mary Scott Valentine? Because I think there was some debate. We saw something like, is she the absolute worst? Is she like typical Karen? Or was she like the best in terms of this happening? And I think that's really the question. But, you know, Mary Scott Valentine would not have been able to work her magic if it wasn't for, you know, Operation Cupid that was, you know, drawn up by Charles. So I'm going to give it to Charles DeBarber.
Liana, where do you weigh in?
Yeah, I'd second that. I think Charles gets the fishy. I will say, though, that this kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week, where it depends who you're rooting for, right? Is Mary Scott the hero or is she the villain? And I think it depends whether or not you're rooting for the fugitives or you're rooting for the Hunters.
Yeah, that's why people hate Mary Scott. I will say that she was important. She was a key cog, but I still think that you have to give it to Charles this week.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm even trying to think across all the other instances of the other cases. And I'm not seeing anybody who's currently would pop there.
Lenny did have some key info about the party scene down in South Carolina.
That's true.
Trust me, I don't know. Trust me.
I don't know how you get better than slave boxes.
Yes, yeah, that Charles and his slave boxes were pretty good.
Are we sure it wasn't a slave bot? I've heard of slave bots.
Slave was bot?
Yeah, like it's a slave bot. Like the slave bots, he's got slave bots working on it versus a slave box working on it.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see. Maybe some of our listeners can let us know what's going on with Charles' slaves. Okay. Uh-oh. This is a question from Ari Ferrari, who wants to know, what's worse, butt dialing the hunters or Mary Scott Valentine ratting you out for money?
The butt dialing was pretty funny.
Mary Scott Valentine got paid.
Yeah, and I can confirm, you know, I actually reached out to the aforementioned Charles DeBarber. He did confirm. He didn't know how much, but the people who did reach out and were successful with in helping kind of aid an investigation did actually get monetary remuneration. So she did get paid. But at least I think with the butt dial, you have to take into account like what was potentially said, and it doesn't sound like anything useful came out of it. If it led to the downfall, that would have been hilariously awful.
She's slashing tires. Maybe this is going to lead to the downfall of Beth. Maybe Beth is going to get arrested.
There's like some other, like some friend of hers whose tires were slashed. They're completely not part of the hunted storyline. And this just completely ratted her out.
So I searched Mary Scott Valentine on Twitter. There's some good tweets right now.
I'm searching her on Tinder right now.
Whoa.
No kidding.
It's MJ 254 says that worst person in America. It's a retweet of Jasmine Mahar saying Mary Scott Valentine is a snitch, and now all of America knows it. This is another Twitter user, HB Momo F2 says, one more chance then I am out. Such crap. Mary Scott Valentine is such a, and you know, I'm not going to repeat the word that this woman calls her. This is VI Living Good says, Mary Scott Valentine, you are shameless. I hope the money was worth it. # hunted CBS.
You know what? I do hope the money was worth it. I don't get all this Mary. You know what? Oh, this is actually making me angry because it's like, I'm trying not to over contextualize what Miles and what was the guy Will, what Miles and Will were doing, but let's just say that this was like actually something serious. That, you know, Mary Scott Valentine did what she was so should have done as a citizen.
Exactly.
Yeah, come on. Wait, Twitter is killing Mary Scott Valentine. They're coming for her. They're snatching her wig, Kurt.
Mary Scott Valentine is just trying to do her civic duty, caring about the security of the women in wherever they were. And these boys could have been murdering people. We don't know.
I mean, this is why there's such an uproar right now about Mary Scott Valentine. JoJo Benson puts it well, says, so don't nobody know Mary Scott Valentine's social media? LMAO, she straight snitched and knew it wasn't real.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah, so people don't like rats. People don't like it when you're a narc. And Mary Scott Valentine on national television ratted out, maybe not her friends, but some, you know, hot guys that were hanging out with her sisters.
You know what? Flynn or Anna was the one that told Mary Scott Valentine about the entire situation in the first place. So some blame has to be put there if you're angry.
Yeah.
Maybe Miles and Will used their horrible pickup lines on her and she was offended. Is the interstate that way? Can I get your number?
Is the interstate that way? Got your number?
I can't blame her. This is another one. Jasmine Mahar says, Mary Scott Valentine is a snitch, and now all of America knows it. Yeah. And then this is from the verified Tony Clemens. Mary Scott Valentine from Modesto Island, South Carolina, shaking my head at you. You should be ashamed of yourself. Cold Judas. Wow. Shaking my head. LOL.
Oh my!
Because
goodness.
All of these people had vested interest in these two dude bros evading authorities.
People are coming for Mary Scott Valentine. Well, this one I will. If Mary Scott Valentine is going to accept my Facebook friend request, then she can come on the podcast and give her side of the story.
I want to get Karen. I want to get Mary Scott Valentine.
Yes.
I don't know if there's anybody from last Wednesday that I want to get on here. Mandy? Do we want Mandy?
No.
I think, these are the key people we need to hear from, the true stars of the show.
We need a Deliverance guy from last week.
Oh, yeah, and Deliverance guy, of course.
Deliverance guy? No, I don't want him to have my number.
You ain't never seen that movie Deliverance, has you?
No. I'm declaring February 14th is officially Mary Scott Valentine's Day. That's when we should have her on the podcast.
Because I think we should be recording on the 15th. So, she has her official day on Tuesday.
Yes.
And then the next day she can come join us.
She could be the guest on the podcast next week. Safe seat for her on the panel.
This is a safe space for you, Mary Scott Valentine. circle of trust.
After people are coming for her on Twitter.
Gosh, yeah. My hilarious thing is that what if it was like, was it labeled an anonymous tip line?
Yeah. That's right. No, maybe she wanted to use her name.
Wait, were people this pissed at the neighbor?
No.
He
didn't give his
too.
First name and last name.
Is it Robin's neighbor?
We can get him on the podcast too.
Actually, you know what we need? We need to do like a Jerry Springer type panel, and we need Mary Scott Valentine and then Anna Valentine and also Flynn Valentine. We need all the Valentine sisters. And then also, I think we should have Liz also and get all of them on the panel on a Google Hangout. To talk
Nothing could go wrong.
And maybe Miles and Will as the character witnesses. And they could be like, why did you turn us in, Mary Scott? This is why I hate Mary Scott. Okay. John Densford has a good question about the disappearance of David and Emily. He wants to know, does an INV1 for David and Emily ruin their winner's edit?
Ooh, good question. I think for one episode, I think they're going to be okay. Obviously, we'll see next week. Hopefully, they'll be back in the spotlight. But that doesn't look great for them.
Yeah, I think it might be hard to stretch out their story to like the full length of the season from start to finish. Because next week, if they are back, and if Lee and Skagfield are back as well, then they're kind of tied for the number of episodes that they've been in. Because we didn't see, Lee and Skagfield in the first one. So all things all tied up. All good.
Yes. So do we know the Hunted Edgic yet, Kurt?
I'm getting my table out now.
Okay.
God.
What were Miles and Will this week?
OTTN?
Yeah.
I just I literally go into this red haze fills my eyes whenever Edgic starts getting talked about. So I'm going to defer this question.
What was Mary Scott Valentine's Edgic?
Flames inside of my face.
Negative burning. For sure.
What, Kurt? I didn't know you hated Edgic so much.
Next.
Liana, do you hate Edgic?
I like it. I'm down.
Okay. You could be our Hunted Edgic expert.
All right, I'll get that column written and send it over to you guys.
Yes, we need to know. Yeah, you can consult Zach Vossler also if he's watching Hunted.
We've also got a tweet from Pepito asking, is Lee's wife's butt this week's Karen? # butt dialing.
Listeners did like the butt dialing story.
A typical butt.
Yes.
Yeah. This is the butt's pasta.
Yeah.
Justin Feinberg asked us, were Miles and Will more interested in winning $250,000 or going on a South Carolina sex tour? Now, we have no evidence to support that. That's inappropriate.
No, I was like, could Command Center have tracked the spread of particular communicable diseases throughout South Carolina to get a bead on Miles and Will? That might be taking it too far.
did you guys see on their bios their catchphrase
for who?
Miles and Will.
Miles and Will.
No, what did they say?
It's insane for
Miles
both
and Will
of them.
Catchphrase. Okay, so let's go to here's Miles and Will, fugitives on the run, and their catchphrase, their favorite phrase, are that. Miles' favorite catchphrase is insane, and Will's favorite catchphrase is insane.
Insane.
That is insane. Then we got a tweet that was from the great Randy Rice, who wanted to know, have we seen this? Kurt, did you read the Andy Denhart profile on Hunted from today on Reality Blurred?
Today? No, I know from looking at something, I think it was last week, that he's not that impressed by it.
Well, that piece was actually real. That piece was interesting. So he talks about, he kind of breaks down one of the scenes and kind of the how realistic it could be.
So he goes through like the scene that we saw where David, they get the lead on him driving the Enterprise rent-a-car. And he goes through like what the production would have been able to do legally and what they would have been able to do as not a law enforcement agency and a production company. And it does get into some of like the ways that they put the show together. I mean, I think that if you look at Hunted as sort of like a procedural, where if you were looking at this as a literal investigation, I think that there probably were a lot of things that were sort of, you know, that they took footage that they got from a GoPro, that they were on the field and they make it look like that's footage from coming from an ATM. I think that if you want to enjoy this show, you have to sort of just suspend the disbelief. Because I don't think that if this was actually like a real time, you know, 48 hours type thing, that the show would be as polished.
Right. And I think the thing that makes that hard, though, is like I watch it and I want to completely suspend disbelief and like kind of not analyze. OK, wait. So the camera shot there clearly shows that there's a cameraman there or would indicate that there was one. And or yeah, how could they potentially actually just, you know, search for this person's phone? And I try not to think of the logistics behind it and just kind of take it at face value. But when you start asking yourself, well, I wouldn't have done that in this situation, I would have done this instead. And you start then questioning, well, within the parameters of the rules of the game, could I have done that? Or would the hunters have been able to, you know, follow me on this particular line of thinking? Then it starts to get a little bit sticky there. So as pure entertainment, I think for me, it works. But when you start to try to play along and outguess, you know, what would I have done in that situation? It starts to fall apart a little bit just because you then have to examine, well, what can the players do? What can the hunters do? And we really don't know. And that's the only real issue I have with this. But I get over it after about 20 seconds.
Yeah, it's an interesting read. If you want to check it out, it's on realityblurred.com. Okay. Anything else you guys want to touch on for the third episode of Hunted?
No, I think you're good. Looking forward to seeing getting all the teams out in the field soon.
Okay. Should be a lot of fun. All right. What's the hashtag? We have so many different things that we talked about here tonight, starting with Cambroflage and all the many different things we talked about with Mary Scott Valentine. Liana, does anything stand out for you?
I liked the Mary Scott Valentine's Day, but I worry for poor Mary Scott.
Yeah, I feel like the people are coming for her too hard on Twitter. Like, we were sort of just like laughing, like, ha ha ha, Mary Scott Valentine. But people are calling her, you know, some very not nice names on Twitter. People need to knock that off. Come on.
If Charles is our MVP, can she be our MSVP?
MSVP for Mary Scott Valentine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Okay. Certainly.
I liked Cambroflage. Was there a spelling issue there? I liked your CBS actually, because it was a lot of CBS.
We can go with that. SEABS. You don't think people are going to think that we're calling out BS on the show, right?
No. I don't think so. I think it was really
not
just kind of
our intention.
No. We're enjoying it.
Yes. CBS, that is the entity that has jurisdiction over the waterways on Hunted.
Yes. Not the TV station.
Yes. Okay. All right. So good stuff all the way around and very fun. Looking forward to diving back into the Hunted next week. Kurt, I know you've been busy podcasting. What have you been up to?
Oh, dear. Yeah, we're covering the finale week of Celebrity Big Brother UK this week. Spoiler alert. Last week, unfortunately, we did see our friends Heidi and Spencer leave the show. But we are now going into the finale on Friday with six people in the house. We're going to get a winner crowned, and then we'll be Alex Kidwell and I will be wrapping that up. And then, as always, our continued Top Chef coverage continues with myself and Josh Wigler, Antonio Mazzaro, and Mike Bloom.
And of course, Kurt is on Twitter at Kurt Clark. Yes. And Liana is on Twitter at Liana Boris. You guys have been very chatty with many of the figures from the command center on Hunted. Do you guys have any highlights of those interactions?
Actually, I did find out about the, remember the car crash from episode one?
Yes.
So
Karen.
Yeah.
And her pasta.
Yeah. So, I think I already talked about this, but yeah, everything's okay. Let's see what else. So Dr. Max, I was interested in some of the command center people. He has a Facebook page that is literally nothing but pictures of cats. That's it. So wow. If anybody is interested in pictures of cats, check out Dr. Max's Facebook page.
I got to find Lenny on social media so he can tell me like places to hang out. He knows all the good places, the hot spots.
There we go.
Okay. All right. Well, good stuff. Do you think that Miles and Will are seeing more action on Tinder tonight, Kurt?
They've got a spike in Tinder activity.
Yeah, we know Mary Scott Valentine, which way she's swiping on that. She's done with those guys. She burned her bridges there. Okay, so very fun show. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback on these Hunted recaps, so glad you guys are enjoying it. Hopefully we kept up the pace tonight. Of course, we love to get your comments on robiswebsite.com, and of course, you can subscribe to the podcast. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes for everything that we're doing. We're not done yet for this week, of course, that we've got a couple of really fun shows already up. I did an interview with Jessica Lewis from Survivor earlier this week. Our Celebrity Apprentice podcast went up Monday night, and we had a very fun News AF with Danny and Tyson. But then coming up still this week, I'm going to be talking with the great Mike Bloom, Kurt's partner on many a podcast. And we are talking about some of the best final words, the confessionals that people have, like after they get run out of tribal council, in the history of Survivor. That's a very fun podcast. I recorded it earlier this week. I think you guys are really gonna like that. I'll post that for you guys for Friday morning. So be on the lookout for that. Until next time, I'm at Rob Cisternino. Have a good one, everybody. Take care.